Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show!
Two tens on the phone, one on the West Coast, one on the West Coast. My Marissa Talese, she's author, video model.
Hello.
We got Leanne Shines on the East Coast, and it just so happens that both of these girls have been in my life for a while, good friends of mine, but they're both authors. And Marissa, when did your first book come out?
Oh my gosh, that was December of 2012. So it's been almost 4 years now.
It's amazing. I think that, like, I was so proud of you because, like, both of you guys kind of, like, just dropped off and did it to completion. And I was like, that's amazing to me because it's hard for me to get to the finish line with a lot of things, but especially with writing. Holy shit. I mean, I was like, I'm going to write a book, but then I'm like, I'll have no friends after this book. So I decided to keep my friends. Because if I have to do the down and dirty shit, like from when we got here, it's just not going to be good. And plus, everybody's married with kids now. It would just be too much trouble. But anyway, so.
We're both like, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the way I think things went down. And correct me if I'm wrong. So Marissa has been on the strip. I remember her from like day one, just being the young one. We all kind of looked after her. She was on the strip all the time. She was at the Burbank house always, and I've known her since she was really young. And it just so happens that my ex-wife and her sister went to Cosmopolitan School together. They were friends. And
really?
Yeah, isn't that a fun fact? So anyway,
I never knew that.
Her sister's beautiful too. Like her. But anyway, so Marissa's, you know, she's knows all the bands. She did all the collecting. I mean, she's got flyers from every band from, like, seriously, like, 8 years or something. And she's had an idea of writing, like, this story about her younger days in the Sunset Strip, which I was like, this is a great idea. It's really fun. And then she wrote another book called Walking Contradiction. Don't kill me. I haven't read that one, Marissa. Don't be mad at me. I'm serious. Like, I feel bad because I said the same thing to Leanne. Leanne's like, oh, you're not a good friend.
Don't worry, Marissa, because she hasn't read my first one either. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that haven't read the second one yet, so I totally get it.
I got to get on that one. But the thing is, then, I mean, I know Leanne's been, like, writing and doing all kinds of creative stuff, and I think that you guys at some point linked up, and I think Leanne was kind of, you know, asking, like, you know, what am I getting into? You know, how did you do it? What did you use? This and that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that was kind of one of the first things that we hit on. We just were like, oh, you like to write? I like to write, too. And then neither of us had written books or anything, I think, at that point when we met. So we just kind of kept talking about it, that we wanted to write, you know, our respective books at some point. So I think that was, like, kind of the initial connection.
Yeah, which is awesome. Did you guys just hear that?
No.
Okay. I know, I turned my volume up in my headphones and it just went bring real in my headphones. I'm like, rang my bell. Anyway, I think, listen, Marissa, how long did it take you to write your first book?
Oh my gosh. I actually started writing it, I think, in the early 2000s, but then I went to television production and started working on different shows, and my schedule was insane. I never had time to write. I barely had time to sleep. And that went on for probably 6-7 years. And then finally, when I sort of got a more comfortable job and I had a little bit more time to write, I took all the notes that I had written, you know, 6-7 years earlier, and really got a chance to knock it out. But I think if I had condensed all that time, I'd say probably a year and a half.
Wow.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, over that period.
This is my fun time, because what shows did you work on again?
Well, the first show I worked on was, yeah, Sunny, and my first show was Punk.
Yeah.
And then I did America's Next Top Model after that. And yeah, Sunny was one of the last shows, or no, Nitro Circus on MTV. That was the last show that I did.
That's amazing.
I still cannot believe that you worked with Charlie Day. He's like the best.
I know. He's hilarious.
He is the best. He's all of them. They're all awesome. But really, if I had to say like anybody that is more kind of true to their character on a show, I would say it's Charlie. Charlie is just, he's not that dumb. But I can see where he channels it from. He's very nice, but he's got that sort of weird, crazy, goofy side to him.
Oh, my God.
So he's got, like, that childlike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Horrible Bosses. That guy absolutely fucking kills me. I've seen a lot
of... Oh, my God. The scene when he's in the car and he's singing that song. Oh,
oh,
it's hilarious.
The thing
he's
is, like...
coked out with the jaw going back and forth.
He's amazing.
I don't know. Are we allowed to say that on the podcast?
You can say whatever you can say whatever you want to say.
All right, good. Good to know.
Hey, so the thing is, I mean, when you know, you hear about people writing books, okay? But I know two people that wrote books, which is awesome. And the fact that like we're all friends and we all know each other makes it even cooler. I love when my friends create and you know, bounce shit off each other. And, you know, we usually all go down to a Blackboard Jungle reunion show. It's usually early June, and everybody gets together. We have a great time. It's like a whole weekend of just old friends, and I love it, man. I think it's amazing. And that's how everybody got to meet Leanne. She came out with Jesse 1 year, and they're friends with CJ and everybody. So it's like one big family.
No. I came out with Tara to see CJ, and then a few months later I went by myself, and that was my first DBJ show.
Oh shit.
And that's when I kind of linked up with Debbie, Carol. That's when I met you and Jesse and Greg. That's when I met Marissa.
That's right. At the pool, right?
I don't remember what year that was. Yeah, at the pool.
That was like 2010.
You guys were staying at the London that year, and I remember like walking into your hotel room, like I guess you guys were having like people over.
Yeah.
And the bathroom was stunning.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
Like, you had this beautiful bathtub. I'm one of those people that, like, judge hotel rooms by the bathtub.
Yes.
And the bathroom. And I remember being like, oh, my God, the London is so awesome.
It's a fun
I remember that was, like, when people, those were where the initial, like, last kind of after parties were at the London. And then it just sort of, there were no more Blackboard after parties after that. It was just sort of, everyone goes back to their hotels, and then that's kind of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to
What year was that?
That was 2010, I think, right?
It had to be. It was a while ago, because it's been a long time since anybody.
No, it was definitely like 2008.
So I want to ask. Wow. I want to ask Leanne. Yeah. I want to ask Leanne. Do you like? What was the moment where you're like, I have to write this book?
In December of 2014, I went to New Orleans with CJ and Renee, our friends. And I went there, you know, with the goal of going to the Marie Laveau grave site and making a wish, because that's like an infamous thing that you do when you go to New Orleans. And I ended up going, and I ended up making a different wish. But like going there, I kind of had like a spiritual experience. I can't really explain it, but I left there a little bit different than when I had arrived. And, you know, that was New Year's Eve. That night we got home. I, you know, wrote a status calling myself out. I was like, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. You know, me scrolling on Facebook and being involved in everybody else's lives, I'm not going to accomplish my dreams. I'm going to delete my Facebook account, and I won't be back on unless, you know, until I'm saying that I've published my book and it's ready to be released. And, you know, 8-9 months later, after working all year writing it from Monday through Friday, I was able to publish it and release it.
Amazing. I think I remember there'd be times where I would ask Marissa, like, the only thing she'd say yes to is sushi, but everything else, she's like, I gotta write tonight. I'm staying in, I'm turning off my phone. And I just remember like the last couple weeks, I dragged her out to get one of her favorite drinks down there at what is it? What place did we go to? It wasn't Starbucks, man. What's the place that you love the most?
Oh, Coffee Bean?
Yeah, that's the place. And she's like, I'll be right there with her Ramon shirt. and her hat on. She's just like, she's like, I got to make this quick because I'm in the middle of shit. But I used to do that, Marissa, just so you can get a little break, get a little sunshine. You know what I mean? Get out of the house, do your thing. Plus, you got me all turned on to that drink, and that's why I'm a diabetic today. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding around. I'm on the verge. I'm on the verge. But I think that, Marissa, like, because like my thousands of listeners want to know, and I'm going to ask you guys both the same question. I'm serious. That's not even a joke. It's not even a joke. Check this out. If you're going to tell, like, book number one, I want you to just tell people basically what it's about real fast and why they should buy it, because, and same thing with book two. Go ahead.
I think both book one and both book two, for those that don't know, Rock and Roll High School is the first book. Walking Contradiction is the second book, and it is the sequel to the first one. The first book covers the Sunset Strip years and me growing up in L.A., ends on my 20th birthday, and then the second book picks up from where the first one left off of my 20th birthday and then brings you up to present day. So the reason why you should buy them is because even though the content is about the Sunset Strip during a particularly salacious time, it's written from a perspective that I don't think's been done before. And it's not from a groupie or a drug addict or a hooker or whatever. And that's not a judgment.
It's a fact.
Perspectives were not from those were not my experience of growing up in L.A. and hanging out on the Sunset Strip. So my perspective is more of a coming-of-age story. Wonder Years meets Almost Famous. Like, this is just a story of a normal girl that anybody can relate to who grew up in the Valley and came out here to just enjoy the music with nothing to win or lose. I didn't come out here to be, you know, the hottest girl or to meet this band, or I didn't have an agenda. It was always about the music for me. So I think my perspective is something that hasn't been covered yet. And that is just, you know, the everyday person that anybody can relate to and not just, oh, the hot girl or the, you know, whatever, the rich person. Like, I think my perspective is a little more relatable and more of the everyday person.
Right about that, because I like the fact, because you're a good girl. You've always been a good girl. You were always pretty, but you know, you were a lot younger than a lot of us, but, you know, like I said, you're on the strip and you know, I just know that you had a lot of situations where guys rolling up. It's just normal. I mean, if you look good, yeah, people are coming over to you. It is what it is. But I mean, you held it together. You never went to the dark side. You've never been on, you've never been on the pole. Parents did a great job.
And I mean, you know, and I know people that have, and it's totally, you know, they have had those experiences. And again, that's not a judgment. It's just, I can't relate to that perspective. So I'm going to tell you my perspective, you know, and to say, if you do keep your head together, you can live in a big city like Los Angeles and not lose yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can have a great time doing it too. You can have fun. I mean, I certainly wasn't walking around sober with a Bible in my hand, you know,
we've had a lot of crazy
times.
Still out. Me and Marissa, this is like our last couple like interactions are like, I come to town, I'm on business. We're either going to sushi or we're walking down the strip. We walk into a Wasp show. Remember we saw Wasp? We're like, oh, they're playing, let's go see them. Like, we just do the stupidest shit. Like, once you're on the strip, yeah, even now, I mean, I know it's changing so much and corporations are taking over and they're destroying it. But I mean, we can always, from the Viper Room to Gil's Turner on the other side, you can always find something fun to do. It doesn't matter what night it is.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Something's going to happen to you walking around there.
And I know that Leanne coming to Hollywood, she had a near-death experience. And 1 year, I almost got hit by a car. I went deep with her a little bit. She told me a little bit like about her dad and about reasons why she was interested in writing. And I love the cover. I love that you're up at Runyon. That's pretty cool, up on the bench.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I love that cover. It's just Walking Contradiction cover to me is amazing. Rock and Roll High School with the whiskey sign. It's just brilliant. I mean, it's so great. I'm totally excited to read both books. I mean, I read Rock and Roll High School when it came out. I was excited. I like couldn't wait to get my copy. It got sent to me. And I sat, as I was reading it, I was texting Marissa. She was at work, like, dude, I'm at work. And I just kept going on and on and on. I might as well just wrote you an email. But I totally enjoyed it.
Thing,
go ahead.
I think the
thing, too, with Walking Contradiction that isn't really in the synopsis that I put is that I do talk about the New York lifestyle in the mid-90s and kind of compare it to what is happening in Hollywood now. Because St. Mark's, for I don't know how familiar you guys are with St. Mark's Street, but St. Mark's Street, I mean, in New York City, like, the first time I ever went to New York was in 1994, and it was a completely different place. It was amazing, and
that's my favorite spot in the village.
Yeah, yeah. It's like scrap bar, like a lot of places that aren't around anymore. But yeah, like I talk about a lot of those places in the second book, and that was kind of something that another friend had mentioned that, you know, wow, I got your book and I was totally, you know, listening to you talk about New York City in the 1994 and 95 brought back a lot of memories. I had no idea that was going to be in the book. So that's kind of like that sort of little comparison of, like, you know, the gentrification of happening on St. Mark's and in New York City is also what's happening, unfortunately.
Not to bring you down, but they just closed Vaudeville.
I was about to say that, but I was like, I don't want to.
You know what? They moved it, actually. It's moving to another location, but the where it was is the legendary location that it's been at forever. Like, that is where it really should be. But, yeah, it's so sad. It's like all those places are just, here, let's put up another Pinkberry because there's not enough. You know?
Well, when you used to come to New York and you were excited, I'm like, I'll tell you about this. And then you hit New York, and you didn't need me. You just found out your own way. That's the way I did it in L.A. You go out there and you find your own way. You were just so knee-deep in New York that, I mean, I could throw out a couple cool places to eat, but, you know, like, that turns over every 3 to 5 years. And just watching you fall in love with the East Coast, like I watched Leanne fall in love with the West Coast, which is great because, you know, I mean, there's something to love on both coasts. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I love New York. Like, I love New York. That's my second home. I don't know that I could ever live there, though. I think it's a little bit too claustrophobic for me. But I wish I could go there more than, you know, I don't think I've been there in, like, 2 years.
Yeah. Well, you can always say my name next time you come out.
Look at that.
I know.
I'm literally, like a three-minute bus ride away from Manhattan.
I always trip on that, too, because everybody comes out to each coast. It's like, stay with your friends. Like, I came out there. And Laurel won't even let me, like, stay, like, crash on the couch to see Nicholas. So I got a hotel room on Hollywood Boulevard, and shit was like $1,500. I was there for like 6 days. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, walking. I mean, it was the dumbest shit ever. I should have just gave that money to one of my friends. Just said, let me just crash. Yeah. But we had a good time. It was cool. We stayed at the Grafton. I like that place. It's pretty good. But you know what? I got to tell you, like, I'm looking forward, Marissa, your new book, like, I want to hear a little bit about this because I heard a little bit from Britt and now I want to hear from you.
Oh, I want to hear what Britt said. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious. What did he have to say? I like outside opinion.
Well, he said
Britt's very, he's got a good constructive opinion. So I like to hear what Britt
said. We didn't go into crazy depth about it. He just said it's going to be like a dating book, basically about like the trials and tribulations of like dating in a big city. Different people trying to find out who you can vibe with the most. Because, you know, I mean, like, hey, man, I lived in Glendora, so I know where you're from. You know what I mean? That whole area. So, but it's like, you know, it's like when you go into the city, it is pretty shocking. A 30-minute ride, it's just a whole different way of living. And people in the suburbs, they don't understand that. But
absolutely. Yeah, it's a whole different beast in Hollywood and Los Angeles. And that's pretty much what, the book's just, it's sort of a faux self-help coffee table book that I just wanted to put some very blunt dating advice into. Just a lot of things that I hear from single girlfriends, you know, complaining about certain things. And, you know, it's just, I put all of that advice in this new book. But it's very just blunt, plain advice, not, you know, the nurturing self-help kind of book. It's just literally like one chapter I have is titled, The Game is Bullshit. Everybody says you got to play the game. You got to play the game to get the person. You don't call for the first 2 days. It's all bullshit.
It's all played
out. I have an entire chapter that I go into about not playing games. You got to, you know, just be frank, be a stand up person and be a person of integrity. Stand by your word, you know?
Absolutely.
So I go into a lot of those kind of, you know, just
sort of dating things, and also, you know, if you are dating somebody in the industry, you know, who doesn't have a 9-to-5 job, that's a whole other set of parameters that you have to deal with, you know. So I talk a lot about that and just, you know, the differences of, yeah, dating in a big city, but in this particular book it's about.
I remember you coming home. I mean, when you're in the industry and you're single, I mean, you're putting in long hours. You might as well just get used to being single for a while, because that's just the way it goes.
So, oh, yeah. I didn't have a boyfriend the entire 7-8 years that I worked in television production. I dated here and there, but I did not have a boyfriend the entire time, because I just didn't have time to do anything but work. You know, that was pretty much it.
And when you guys, it was your birthday at Red Rock, and when Evan came there, like, you were so excited. And I was like, oh, man, you know, because we're all, like, very protective of Riz. So I'm taking a picture of her on her birthday, and I'm like, I cut Evan out on this one picture. And he saw it years later. He's like, you're such a dick. That was a fun night.
Oh,
but listen, I want to just touch on one thing with Leanne. Like, I remember, like, you coming back to the hotel and you were really shaken up, and, like, you almost got hit by a car. And then you were saying, like, you just felt there was a presence there that kind of, you know, I know you're, like, you're all into Jim Morrison. You always do the Jim Morrison tour stuff, which is awesome. I love it. It's just cool that there's so much history there. And you know what I mean? Like, you could walk to the spots of, like, where he used to eat, where he used to sleep, wherever, last place he lived, you name it. But, yeah, just tell me about that more, because I think people will be interested to hear this.
I'm really big into spirituality. I lost my father at a very young age. So I was kind of always connected in some way to, you know, spirits and angels. I've always been shown signs. But the time that you're talking about, I had gotten engaged a few days prior to that in the Hollywood Hills. And to make a long story short, a couple days later, you know, a good friend of mine had passed away, and we were on our way to LAX, and everybody stopped to get coffee. At the time, Sunset Live was still a store that was open. It's across from the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf on Sunset.
Yes.
And I ran up to go see about a headband that I had seen earlier in the week, and the store was closed because it was a Sunday. So I went, and I started walking back towards our rental car. And there was a girl in front of me, and she had a British accent. And instead of paying attention to where I was going, I was kind of, like, paying attention to her on the phone and her beautiful accent. And out of nowhere, this truck came towards us, and something cold pushed me out of the way. And, you know, I was, like, all out of sorts. I wasn't sure if it was, like, a spirit or an angel, but I just kind of, I knew that it was something. And then when I got home after going to that person's wake and, you know, dealing with getting engaged and losing someone that had been important to me in my past, you know, I was asking for signs, and I got one.
That's insane.
And it just confirmed to me that there's a lot out there that we don't know about, and, you know, we should believe and scared.
No, that's amazing. Are you planning on doing a second book?
Yes, I'm more or less, just because I just put out Shine like a few months ago, I still need to get more comfortable with, you know, promoting and marketing a little bit. I'm shy when it comes to this kind of stuff, so I feel almost awkward about, like, endorsing my own work, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still trying to get comfortable with doing that, but, you know, little by little, baby steps.
I know you guys laughed earlier when I said thousands of listeners, but I'm not even playing. Like, my numbers are huge.
You were totally thinking about that the whole time.
No, I haven't. I was listening to you, but I'm saying, if someone wants to buy your book, Shines, where can they go?
You can find it on Amazon. You know, they sell it as a paperback, and they also sell it as a ebook.
Nice. And Marissa, I've seen your book on every pretty much media, but what's the best way to get your book on Amazon?
Yep, same thing. Amazon, wherever, Amazon.com, or any, available in most countries too, on Kindle and paperback.
Oh, nice, dude. The Kindle thing is hot. Hey, I got to tell you that I got you both on the phone. Like, I think, like, you guys' boyfriends, or your husband, Leanne, and your boyfriend, Riz, are the coolest motherfuckers, definitely. Like, two guys that I liked right away, honestly. Like,
My husband loves you too.
Yeah, they're awesome. I call Jimmy the Outlaw. And Evan has a new band called Vices, and I keep hearing a clip. I got to buy that. It's available. I'm going to buy it tomorrow, but it sounds really good. And I'm not trying to make the show about him, but let's do it. He was on the Mayhem Tour years ago, and he's a great singer, and he's always doing some fun project, but he sounds great on this new shit. Oh, my God, dude. Is it the same band? Like, what's the deal?
It's a completely new band. They're called Vices, and the singer is Dave. He was in a band called Heart Self-Destruct, and he's based out of Chicago. They also have the bass player, former bass player from Breaking Benjamin, playing bass. They also have, totally spacing. They have Russ, they have Sean. I'm totally spacing on their bands right now.
Listen, but Breaking Benjamin is a band. They're like from the town where I live, over here, in Pennsylvania, from Scranton.
Are they really?
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Isn't that crazy? Hey, how's Evan doing? Is he home?
No, he's out and about tonight. He's been really busy doing Vice and stuff for the last couple of weeks.
I know, dude. He's pushing the shit out of it.
They just got their wardrobe. They just got their first single up, and they're shooting a video in like a week. Because the singer still lives in Chicago, but the rest of the band is based in L.A. So every other week, the singer flies out to L.A. for a week. They rehearse, they shoot stuff, they just get a bunch of, like, every day. It's like full productive day, get as much as they can get done, and then he flies back for a week. So
well,
it's been
you
every
and Evan,
other week, it's crazy.
You and Evan were making everybody crazy. It was like, Evan's on tour, coming back, your book signing is at Book Soup or wherever it was, like, is he going to make it back? It was crazy. Like, you're having a book signing here, a book signing there. He's on tour over here. My friends on the East Coast love him. And
great.
Yeah, so it's going to be huge. Actually, when he put that clip and I put it on my page, and a lot of people hit me offline, and I'm like, you could buy it digitally soon. Just hang on. But I think it's going to be huge.
It's really cool. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised because they're used to hearing him as a metal singer and screaming and growling. And this is not a metal band. This is a hard rock band, like an Octane type band. So he clean sings on this album a lot. So you're going to hear him clean singing, and he has a really good voice.
Yeah. So one time I'm at Marissa's house, and I go in, and there's these, I'm looking on the table, and there's these pictures. I'm like, yo, man, who's this babe? And it was Evan. In modeling pictures. I couldn't believe it, man. This dude, he was like, he looked like a total surfer kid, man. It's crazy. That dude
looks like a Tommy Hilfiger, like, looks like something, like,
That's
Tommy
crazy.
All the hair, the beard and the dreads and everything else, he looks, well, he said he might be shaving the beard, maybe trimming it back for the band. I don't know, we'll see.
Whoa.
That would be a crazy difference.
Yeah, you haven't seen him, I don't think you've ever seen his whole thing shaved, ever.
No, since I've known him, he's always had at least like a good, thick scruff, not a beard, but a thick scruff. I've never seen him clean shaven, ever. He's always had scruff. And when I see pictures of him without it, old pictures, it's hilarious.
It's true.
If he did, it would be weird now because I feel like I'm cheating on him. He looks like a completely
different person.
Oh, man, exactly. Yeah. He looks like he's 20 in those pictures. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really does. It knocks 10 years off of him once he gets rid of the beard, but he likes his scruff. So.
And Leanne, I called your husband the outlaw. And while you were writing the book, I know you were busy and you could use that as an excuse as much as possible. But how patient was Jimmy when you were writing the book? How was he? Was he good?
He was super patient. He's been nothing but supportive, and I'm really lucky to have him because he was there for me every step of the way. It's not easy to have somebody who, has to go back through their past and use it as an inspiration for certain things.
Yeah.
And he's been, great.
So basically, you're glad you married him.
Oh, totally.
Perfect. Now, I'm really, honestly, I got to say, we're going to wrap it up, but I just want to say, this is podcast 10. I'm very proud that I've done 10, but I've done it with two authors because I was like, I wanted to give you guys both your own show, but I think it'd just be more fun just because of the way you guys know each other, too. I'm super proud of both of you, man. I mean, we have a lot of creative and talented friends you could find on media, whether it be books, bands,
we do.
Songwriting, you name it. Yeah. It's like a bunch of really creative guitar playing musicians, writers, singers, you name it.
Yeah, and I love it. It's awesome. Even though I'm not a musician, I love that there's like we have friends that are artists and musicians. Like it's really cool. Just the whole creative vibe is really cool.
Yeah, we can always
I
go.
I wish we could all move to an island and make our like our own community.
That would be yeah. like Utopia.
Yes, yeah.
We can call it Utopia. That'd be
that would be great.
It'd be nice. Now, anyway, so I liked like in Marissa's first book. There's a couple of Joe Howard stories in there, and that it was really fun to read that shit. So thank you for putting that in there.
Yeah, you had definitely good stories to tell.
I really enjoyed having you guys on, and thank you so much. And definitely watch these book sales go because I'm telling my friends they got a lot of my fans are readers, you know, and it's interesting. If you're somebody in the world and you know one author, you're pretty cool. But if you know fucking two and they're both hot, come on. It's a home run. So you guys.
Love you, Joe.
I love you guys, too. You guys have a great time. And thanks for being on, Marissa. And thanks for being on, Mrs. Shines. And tell your guys I said what's up. And we'll do this again.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.